In your Bibles, is chapter 9 of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Chapter 9. You've heard this scripture, probably read. We need encouragement so many times in our life. Someone was talking to me, and said, "Brother Booney," he said, "you know, it was so dark. My wife was dying, and I walked out into the hall and said, this lady came up to me. She said, 'Can I pray for you?' And he said, 'Ma'am, you can pray for me, but it's my wife that's dying. I wish you'd pray for her.' He said, 'I never knew the lady. She prayed, held my hand, and said, never saw her again.' My wife turned around that day. She lived." And you know, he said, "you know," he said, "you believe in angels?" I said, "I certainly do." And he said, "I believe that was God's angel. And whether it was or not, it encouraged him. It encouraged him to keep on keeping on." And encouraged, that's what we find in this passage of scripture, I believe. A glorious vision. A glorious vision. Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 1. "And he said to them, 'Assured, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power.' Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with them. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your glorious vision that you have given us. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. And Lord, we all need encouragement. We all need a vision of just who you are. And God, if there's someone here tonight that has or down, may you encourage them, speak to their heart. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Transfiguration, the encouragement. The heavenly vision you have in verses 2 and 3. Have you ever had one of them when it was a spiritual day or spiritual high, a mountaintop experience in your life? Think about it. A day in your life when God just seemed to move out of heaven onto earth, and man, everything was just one of those glorious days in which you felt the presence of God all over you, all over the place. Whether it was maybe in the worship service or a revival or maybe in a prayer service somewhere. just you and someone praying, a glorious day. Well, I believe this is what happened to these disciples. Peter, James, and John, these three men seemed to be with Jesus on many occasions. It was these three men who were allowed to go into the room where Jairus' daughter was healed. It's these three, Peter, James, and John, in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed, as it were sweat drops of blood pouring from his head. It was these three men, the inner circle, I believe, especially close to Jesus. Now, it wasn't that Jesus loved them more than the other disciples, but it seems that these three men had a capacity, perhaps, to be more receptive to that love of God in their life. Now, James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. And I believe the question that we have in our lives, how do we respond to Jesus Christ tonight? How are we encouraged about Jesus Christ tonight? You see, they were on a mountain. Jesus always seemed to have a way of getting alone to pray. And he was out there and he had these three disciples. They had come to a place of communion and fellowship with God. And I believe every Christian needs a place where they can just be alone and talk with God. You ever have that place where you were just alone and you were talking to God? You felt like, you know, God was just listening to you and no one else is around to, no phone, you know. Cell phones are the worst thing in the world, I believe. You say, I just turn mine off sometimes or leave it in the house. And when I get back, I'll look and see who I'll call. But sometimes we just need to be alone with God. Do you have that place? A place where you can just pray and get alone with God and say, God, you know, this is going on. You know, he knows what's going on. But I believe he wants you to express to him what you're feeling and how you're going. Well, here's the master in verse 3. And Luke says, as Jesus prayed, he was transfigured before them. I believe Brother Perry did a great job of teaching this book a few months ago, did you? Okay, a few months ago. Months fly by. I believe that probably in January or February. But it's more than a few months. But anyhow, that's a metamorphosis, a process in the world of nature where a caterpillar, you see those ugly old caterpillars? They just, you know, wrap themselves in a cocoon and spin there. And you know what? They go through a change in that thing. And when they come out of there, you know, they're just a beautiful moth or a beautiful butterfly. Oh, it's just something. Well, Jesus was like that. He was transfigured. It means that what was on the inside came to the outside. And that was the glory of God. Isaiah 53:2 says, he had no form of comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He was an ordinary man, just like a common man. And yet he was more than just a man. He was the God-man. He was the divine Son of God. And on that mountaintop that day, his countenance was changed. Now, you know, one day we're going to be changed, aren't we? The Bible says we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That God has worked in us, that's the image of Christ, is just going to come out of us. I believe we're all going to be changed. His clothing, man, you know, can you think about that? Glistened so white, it says no laundry on earth could make it that white. It's simply the brightness of God, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God was manifest. It was coming on the outside. He was absolutely sinless in his life. And that glory could no longer be confined to that body within him. Oh, what a glorious vision these men had. Now, the Bible uses a very uses that same Greek word in two places. In Romans 12, it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, here we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You see, when God saves us, He puts His glory inside our lives. And one day, the glory I have, He says, I have given to them. And man, one day we're going to shine in God's glory, I believe. You know, I like Brother Vines, Jerry Vines. He's a, I don't know if you know him or not, but he's a pastor there in Florida for years, First Baptist Church. We went to see him time after time after time. He had a preacher's conference, and he talked about the glory one time, the glory, when the glory appears. And oh, he said one time, you know, he was received a phone call, and it was President Ronald Reagan. President Reagan said, President Reagan called me, Jerry Vines? He said, really, it was his secretary. And he said, Mr. Vines, President Ronald Reagan wants you to attend dinner with him and some other dignitaries. And he said, you know, he went to the White House, him and his precious wife, Janet. He said they dressed in their tuxedo, and she in her nice gown. And boy, he said those military guys lined up with them long shining swords, and they crossed those swords, and man, they walked through underneath those swords going to that beautiful table, banquet table that they had set up for all of those dignitaries, and they all filed in, marching in with their wives. And then someone stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America. And the music was playing. And he said, you know what? I was basking in the glory of the President of the United States of America. And one day I believe we'll bask in the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you think about that, folks. Oh, what an encouragement it must have been to these three guys to stand there and see the Lord transfigured before them. And the Christian life, the Bible says, is a process by which the glory within us is worked out in our daily lives. The glory of God. Folks, that ought to encourage you. In the days ahead, the trials of life come. You know, I was just telling somebody a while ago, we're all getting older. We're not staying young. I missed that fountain of youth while I was over in Jacksonville. St. Augustine, Florida. They say that was there, but I never did find it. And I looked for it. I think maybe Rhonda got it. She still has her young look, but I missed it somewhere down the line. We get older, don't we? But oh, we're going to be changed one day. And this old aching body that's sore and sick, and Joe was telling me he was sick in hospital. Man, there's not going to be any more sickness when we're changed in heaven. And then the heavenly visitors, look at what 4-6. Luke tells us that these disciples were heavy with sleep. You see, they were heavy with sleep. They had trouble staying awake. I think probably some of our members are like that. They're probably kinfolks. They have trouble staying awake during service. And can you imagine being with Jesus and at his transfigured, and they are sleepy? I just can't imagine that, but that's what the Bible says. Now, the greatest, we went to Jacksonville, and I think some of the greatest conferences we've ever had were there when we heard the preachers preach, and all the music and the glory of the music was great, I tell you. But here is Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and his disciples were heavy with sleep. Now, Moses, he represents the law, and Elijah the prophets, and they were great men of God, and both went to heaven in an unusual way, you see. Moses died in the embrace of God, and Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire. Well, Luke 9:31 says, they spake to his decease, in other words, his exodus. They were talking about his death and telling about the cross and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Luke says, when it was accomplished, something that Jesus came to do, to die on the cross. Now, I can see Peter. Peter wakes up. Now, Peter, he never did know what to say at the right time, did he? Peter wakes up kind of out of his yawning and sees all this, and he says, Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build some tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know what's wrong with that? You can't bring Jesus down to the form of man. You see, he is above all men. His name is above all men. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a name above every name. And Peter says, you know, Lord, you know, I don't really know what to say. I just got awake, but we got to say something. Something has happened. And, you know, I've got to do something, so why don't we build some tabernacles? And you know what? God interrupts him. You know, that's kind of strange. Peter was always interrupting everybody else, if you think about it. But God interrupts it and it says, a cloud overshadowed and a voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I believe it's the same cloud that they came down to the temple when the sacrifices were made in the Old Testament. It was a symbol of what? God's presence, and it was a symbol of his power of God. Now, out of this cloud spoke God's voice. God spoke at the beginning when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then here at the end of his ministry, he says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Isn't that kind of strange? He says, I want you to listen to him, God says. Now, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that cloud is gone. Moses is gone. Elijah's gone. And the only ones that remain are the disciples and Jesus. You see, so many times, I believe, God lets us have glorious visions. He lets us have mountaintop experiences. Folks, I've had some mountaintop experiences in my time. I told this man, I actually believe that not only there is angels, I said, I've seen one. In a time of distress, in a time just like yours, God came to me in the form of an angel, I believe, with all my heart. Whether it was, I don't know, but I believe it to be so. And he says, everything's going to be all right. It was a word of encouragement. It was a word of comfort. Now, on this mountaintop experience, what do we do? We need to focus our eyes upon Jesus. You see, I can't stay on a mountaintop experience all time. There's valleys in life. There's sicknesses in life. People die in life. We have heartaches in life. But you know what? Jesus is always the same. We focus on Jesus, not our mountaintop experiences. Oh, yeah, we praise God for them. They encourage us. But you know what encourages me? When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's still there. When I can't maybe feel His presence, I know He's still there. You see, He is God. He is who He says He is. He will do what He came to do, and He wants us to do what He asks us to do. Now, I don't know about you, but He's given us a call, hasn't He? The Christian life is to listen to the voice of God. And God says, listen, He's my beloved Son. You listen to Him. Wonder why? He says obedience is better than sacrifice. If we are obedient, God will bless a way. When the clouds are gone, when the mountaintop experiences are gone, when the visitors are gone, when the voice is from heaven is silent, Jesus remains. Amen? He remains. He's still with them. And it's Jesus who we need to take to the lonely. It's Jesus who we need to take to the needy. It's Jesus who we need to take to the lost. If we miss Jesus, we've missed it all. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. You see, God changes lives. Has He changed yours? I feel like most of us have been changed by Him. But if He hadn't changed yours, He wants to. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you a glorious vision, not of maybe Moses or Elijah, but who He is and how He guides our lives and encourages our lives every day of our life. Has He changed your life tonight? If He hasn't, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and let Him change your life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want You to change my life. You see? Oh, it'll be a mountaintop experience, I guarantee you. It'll be a precious time in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved and He's changed your life, but you're living in it's hard to stay awake, so to speak. Like Peter, James, and John, you just seem to not be doing very much. He wants you to do a lot. He's got a job for you. Listen to His voice, God says. Listen to what He tells you to do. He wants to change you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for those times in life when You speak to our heart, when we're down and out, when we're up and out. Lord, I just thank You that You change us. And if there's someone here tonight that needs a fresh vision, Lord, let them come. Just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I need a fresh vision. And the Bible says You'll give it to us. We praise Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.